Christ, everyone is here. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for thy word. Please use thy word to direct us, to convict us of things that we must change, to edify us and to build us up, and to make us more like thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's start off with Exodus chapter 5, verse 1, Mrs. Grummer.
Yes. And after which Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness.
And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go.
All right, John.
And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilences or with the sword.
And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens?
Okay, Mom, you next verse.
Just be quiet.
Oh, I'm sorry, Elaine. Oh, I'm sorry.
First. Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens.
And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying,
ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick. As heretofore, let them go and gather straw for themselves.
And the tail of the bricks which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them, ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God.
Let there be more work laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. One small question I have. Is that some of that equipment been started?
What do you mean?
I don't know what I mean. But my question here, we're in Exodus chapter 5, and we have here mentioned Moses. But see, what Moses told Pharaoh, he says, in verse 1, he says, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Now, I got a question for you, Mrs. Grummer. Who is Moses?
Who's Moses? Moses was leading, the Lord picked him to lead the people out of Egypt.
The Lord picked him to lead the people out of Egypt. And Jacob, what do we know of Moses' siblings? Do we know anything?
I think Miriam was about 1 year older, and Aaron was a little younger. They were from the tribe of the Levites, the priestly tribe.
They were both older, right? Jacob, that's what you said, right?
I thought Aaron was younger. I know Miriam was a year
older.
Older
than Miriam.
Aaron is younger than Miriam,
but older than
Moses. So Aaron was the middle.
Oh, okay.
He was the middle child.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was in the middle.
Okay.
Uncle Moses was the middle child.
Pardon me?
It was Miriam, Moses, and Aaron.
Yeah, that's what you just said.
Oh, okay.
It was... Moses was the youngest. Is that what you said, John?
No, Moses was older than Aaron, was he?
No, he was younger.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, Moses was younger than Aaron.
Oh, okay.
He was the kid. He was the baby in the basket.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and he was younger. He was the youngest of the family that we know about. I mean, the scripture doesn't say that there was any more children. We know that Miriam was the oldest, then came Moses. I mean, there was like perhaps 3 years difference between Moses and Aaron. I'm not positive that 3 years, 3 years, 5 years, 8 years, 3 years difference than Moses. And so Moses, he came to Pharaoh. Now, Bill, who is Pharaoh?
Pharaoh was the king of Egypt.
Pharaoh was the king of Egypt. Now, Elaine, how long were the children of Israel in Egypt? About this time, approximate number. It could be a round number if you want. How long were they in Egypt when Moses appeared to Pharaoh.
Was it 40 years? Or am I thinking something else?
He said 400 years, right?
No, I said 40.
40? 400.
Okay.
400 years. I think you're thinking, Elaine, the 40 years, perhaps my question wasn't clear enough. The 40 years was the time Moses lived in Egypt.
Oh.
Then 40 more years he was in Midian. And in 40 more years he was in the wilderness. That's where the 40 comes from. And
he was pretty old when he died.
He was. He was 120. He was 120. And so, Mom, who said, I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Who said that?
The Pharaoh.
The Pharaoh. The Pharaoh said that. Now, earlier in the previous chapter, we know there was a, they didn't know who Joseph was either, did they? They didn't know who Joseph was.
Yep.
Now they
forgotten him.
Don't know who the Lord is. And so Moses and Aaron asked the Pharaoh, this is what God told them to ask, asked the Pharaoh, verse 2, to take 3 days' journey. 3 days' journey into the wilderness. And so when they asked that question, what did the king of Egypt say to Moses and Aaron? Tammy?
Yeah, I'll not let them go.
Sorry?
I know that the Lord, and I'm not going to let you go.
And he wanted them, just get back to work. I'm not going to let your people go. Just get back to your burdens. Don't let them deviate from their work, but let them go. Paul.
I know I'm going back a little bit in the previous chapters we read, but because the Pharaoh wouldn't let his people go, didn't the Lord descend upon Egypt with plagues and probably asked this last time. The plagues upon the Pharaoh because he wouldn't let the people go.
That's right. That's what happened. The people were not released. Pharaoh would not let them go. But in time, he let them go. Now, Paul, you said plagues, right?
I meant the locust, I think.
Locust. How many plagues? That's one of the plagues. How many plagues were there, Paul?
I'm trying to remember now. I know I've read it. I'm just trying to remember.
Anna, how many plagues were there?
There were like 10.
There were 10 plagues. 10 plagues. No, 10 plagues. There were 10 plagues. Paul, you mentioned the locusts were one of them. 10 different plagues. Now, as long as we're talking about the plagues, Mr. Grimber, these are still coming in our discussion here later on in the chapter in the book of Exodus. But Mrs. Grimber, what was the last plague?
Last plague was when Jesus told that the firstborn would die if he did not let the people go.
Yeah, the death of the firstborn. And what was the only way the firstborn was going to be spared, Jacob?
By the blood of the lamb on the lintel and on the doorposts.
Mm-hmm. And John, if that blood was absent on the doorposts?
The male child would be killed.
The firstborn.
Firstborn. The male child would be killed.
I'm not necessarily limited to a male child.
Oh, firstborn.
Firstborn. The firstborn child would be killed. Now, as far as Pharaoh's assessment is concerned, he assessed the people of the land to be many. He says here in verse 5, he thought there was a lot of people in the land. Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land are many. And, Bill, what did Pharaoh believe Moses and Aaron were preventing the people from doing?
From working.
From working, yes. So he thought they were preventing from working. Now, Paul, what were they supposed to do? What was part of their work? What were they supposed to do? What was their assignments? And how did they get these assignments? And we're not really sure how long they were doing this as far as being servants, being slaves of the Egyptians. But we do know at this particular point in their history, their 400-year history in Egypt, 430 years or a little bit less than 430 years because they haven't left yet, but their 430 years or 400 years, we get 430 if we count the time that Joseph went in and the time that Joseph's father came and his brothers, that was 400 years. But so in a 400-year history, Paul, near the end of this history, they were slaves in the land of Egypt. That's right, correct?
Correct.
They were slaves in the land of Egypt, and they were supposed to be building things. They were supposed to be making bricks, and with the bricks, they were supposed to be constructing structures and building various things for the government of Egypt. Now, Pharaoh commanded two groups of people. He gave the people the taskmasters a command, and he gave the officers of the command. And Mom, what was this, Elaine? What was this command that Pharaoh gave to the officers and to the taskmasters?
What question is that?
Verse 7. I think it's verse 7. See, verse 6 says, let's look at verse 6. And Pharaoh commanded that this is the same day that Pharaoh that Moses asked to let the people go. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, and so the command, he said his command. And so in saying his command, what did he say to the taskmasters and the officers? In verse 7.
He said, on your people, straw and make brick.
Okay. Now, that's interesting about straw. Now, why do you suppose, Mom, why do the people need straw to make brick?
I don't really know, but I guess it's to make the bricks.
Okay.
I don't really know.
Let's talk about it some more. So you're not positive, but yes, it is to make the bricks.
That's what it says here, but I never made any bricks.
No, I haven't made any bricks either, but if I do...
Would it require mud or something?
In mud?
Yeah.
And Tammy, want to continue on in this discussion about the straw and the bricks and the mud? How does one make bricks?
I suppose the straw would have to be ground or something. You'd add water and then it would be heated and it would be baked maybe just in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Because I don't know if they had a furnace that they would bake them in.
Right.
But that's how you would do pottery today.
Right.
You would put it in a kiln and heat it up
mm-hmm.
to a couple thousand degrees.
Right, that's right. Now, anyone ever
make concrete the same
way?
Okay. So Bill supposed to have concrete coming. Go ahead, Bill. Tell us about concrete.
When they make concrete, if you pour just concrete alone, it's going to crack.
Okay.
It's going to give way. But they mix stone or gravel in with the concrete. And that's to keep it all fused together,
mm-hmm.
prevents it from cracking.
Okay.
And that's what they have to do with the bricks, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, Jacob, go ahead. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And lay it, in different directions, and then that also gives it structural stability. If you don't have the rebar in it, also it's weak.
Okay, that's correct.
Mm.
Now, what would you suppose? Anyone ever been to Egypt before? Mrs. Grummer, ever been to Egypt before?
Nope.
No. there's an Egypt in New Jersey, but that's not the Egypt that I'm talking about. You've been to Egypt before.
That's what I thought it was.
Okay. No, different Egypt. So tell me about Egypt. What's the climate in Egypt? At least when you were there. This is to support Tammy's answer.
It's her answer.
Well, it's not necessarily. It's not. It's an answer. It's a group answer. She mentioned about the heat. And you need heat.
Okay.
To bake the bricks.
Well,
hot in Egypt?
I don't remember it being real hot. It might have been. I don't think they wore coats.
Okay.
I can't remember when we weren't there in the summer. I don't. Think. I can't remember when we were there. What time of the year it was. It was
right.
Nice, though.
But it wasn't extremely hot. Anna, what's your thought about this?
I don't remember.
Well, what was the was the humidity like?
I don't remember. I'm sorry.
Okay. She cannot recall.
Isn't it near the equator?
Egypt is still, the equator is further north, pardon me, further south.
Well, we went to
but Egypt. It's, I'm trying to think of where it is on the, Egypt is down.
It's further south than Israel.
It is, further south, but the equator is probably, I forget what the, down goes through, down through Chad, I think, or some African country down there, so it's probably another 300 to 400 miles, 500 miles away. Maybe it's like Florida.
Yeah.
It'd be closer to the equator, wouldn't it, than Florida?
It'd be a lot like Mexico.
Maybe more like Mexico. So, okay, that's a good question. Jacob, if you don't mind, can you look at your map and see what part of South America, what's my question, Jacob? No, look at a map and see, take the longitudinal little...
It's in Africa.
Take the longitudinal thing across to the either to South America or North America. Or wherever. Understand what I'm talking about?
Yes,
sir. Look at the map or look at the globe. What's your thought?
It wasn't cold.
It wasn't cold.
And I it probably was warm, but not. I don't remember real bad heat or.
Yeah. No, let me ask a question here. What is something unique about a desert? Now I understand there's different characteristics of a desert.
But that's different than Egypt.
No. I know it's different than Egypt, but how close is the desert to Egypt?
Egypt. Most of Egypt is desert.
Most of Egypt is desert, and we know that Egypt is. We know that it's a city. It's a Egypt. Egypt is a country, right? But in that country, isn't there a desert? Where is the Sahara Desert? Is that in Egypt or is that a different country?
Know.
It spans many countries.
Oh yes, the Sahara Desert spans many countries. Now, did you have a comment before, Anna, about this for these bricks?
It was an arid climate, but we already covered that with desert.
Okay, and so I'm not trying to spend a lot of time on these bricks, but we happen to be spending a lot of time. But it's okay. The point being, the ingredient of straw was very important to the making of bricks.
Right.
And so when Pharaoh issued this command to the officers and to the taskmaster and taskmasters, I get it right, maybe the next time. You have them being told by Pharaoh, don't give them any more straw. Don't supply them with straw. So at least they were supplying them with the straw. The mud, they can get by the riverbank, they can get naturally. But the straw, and they always suspect they would have some type of mold, they would mold it, and they would let it bake out in the sun, and they would take the bricks, and then they would use the bricks to do construction. Either they would or somebody else would. And this was part of the responsibilities. But these taskmasters, I'll get it right next time maybe, the taskmasters, they were told, and the officers, do not give them straw. This is a command from Pharaoh. And this, what precipitated this was the fact that Moses, Aaron were saying, let my people go. God says, let my people go. In the beginning of the chapter, he says that they may have a hold a feast unto the Lord. And Pharaoh doesn't want this to happen. And so not only does he say, tells the taskmasters and the officers, don't give them the straw. He tells them, don't diminish the amount of bricks they're supposed to make that day. They're supposed to make the same number of bricks they always have made, but let them go out and get their own straw. Let them get out and get their own thing to supplement the making of the bricks. And so that means they would have to get up. They probably had, I'm not sure how many hours they were working. Probably was more than 8 hours they were working. It would have been 10 hours, it would have been 12 hours they were required to work. So this means they had to get up and start work 2 to 3 hours before they actually started making bricks. They had to go out and they had to gather their own straw, gather their own contents to supplement in the brick making. So, who would I run it off? I guess I'll start with Anna. Or maybe I'll go with Tammy. What type of words did Pharaoh not want the men to listen?
Well, he said they were vain words, but they were God's words.
They were God's words, that's right. Mm-hmm.
So he was saying they were empty, but they were really true.
Right, so his assessment of the words were wrong. His assessment was completely wrong. This is not the only thing that Pharaoh got wrong, was it? Mrs. Grummer, please read verse 10.
And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake unto the people, saying, thus says Pharaoh, I will not give the straw.
Go ye, get you straw where ye can find it. Yet not aught of your work shall be diminished.
So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw.
And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, fulfill your works, your daily tasks, as when there was straw.
And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, wherefore have you not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today, as heretofore?
Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants?
There is no straw given to thy servants. And they say to us, make brick, and behold, thy servants are beaten. But the fault is in thine own people.
But he said, ye are idle, ye are idle. Therefore ye say, let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord.
Go therefore now, and work. For there shall no straw be given you, yet shall ye deliver the tale of bricks. So the taskmasters, and the officer told the people, verse 10, thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. I suppose, you know, Mrs. Grummer, what do you think the people thought of that when they heard the statement from the officers and the taskmasters? What do you think they thought of that?
I don't imagine they were very pleased.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think they were pleased at all. But that's the message they got. Because Pharaoh, he was being stubborn, he was being bullheaded, he was being hard-hearted and rebellious against what God wanted him to do. God wanted him to let the people go. But he refused. He resisted. He wanted to keep the people. And so in his own system, in his own strength, he wanted to devise a method, a system whereby he can somehow outmaneuver what God wanted. And so he thought, if he could somehow tire the people out so that they would not be asking these questions of him, and so he basically was giving them more work. He was causing them to have more work by the fact of refusing to give them straw. And so, Jacob, where were the people supposed to acquire their straw?
It says, in 11 it says, go ye get ye straw where ye can find it, yet not aught of your work shall be diminished. And let me see over here, it said, for them to gather stubble. Where did I just read that?
Yeah, that's the next verse. Well,
that's the next verse. What's your thought there, Mom, about this?
Well, that's what I was going to say. They gathered stubble instead of straw. Evidently, they couldn't find the straw.
Yeah, that was
It says short stumps of grain left standing. Different than straw.
They got scattered throughout all the land to hunt for straw, but they used stubble for straw. Now, question I have for you, who knows anything about hay? or straw or grass. Do you, Jacob?
No, sir. What's going down the road out here, but no, I don't know a lot about it.
Okay. I mean, what is? I think the hay is more expensive than the straw.
Well,
is that right?
I believe it is.
Yeah, Mrs. Grummer says it is. Right. So, the hay is more expensive than the straw. Go ahead.
Well, like cows, don't they eat hay? But I don't know if they eat straw. Isn't straw and hay two different things?
Yeah. I think they're two different things. They are. It is.
Like the, you lay it down, you put up, you make them.
We got grass.
Instead of straw.
The straw goes in a like in a horse's stall.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it gets changed frequently.
Right. Mm-hmm. But the hay is edible.
Uh-huh.
But the hay is edible. So it's more expensive than the straw, but still. And so they were supposed to, the purpose of the straw, again, is to help in the construction of the bricks. Now, who's ever made anything with a mold before?
The what?
A mold.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Anna, tell me what you ever made with a mold.
It was a long time ago. I made clay things.
Clay things, okay.
And I don't remember, and then we put it in the oven. Oven baked.
Now that's interesting. You said clay things. I'm going to get back to this principle of clay. Tell me what some things you made with a mold.
Well, I poured plaster Paris into a mold.
Okay.
I also made candies with a mold.
Okay. So plaster Paris and candies. Now, which would you prefer to eat? Their which of the two? The plaster Paris or the candies? How are you, Elaine?
Yeah, the candy.
The candies. But it's the same. You have a mold. Oh, good. What did you make?
I made Jell-O in a mold.
You made Jell-O with a mold. So the idea they had this, I suspect they had some type of mold. Now, yeah.
Well, even when you bake a cake or you bake anything and you put in a pan, that's sort of the mold.
Okay. Yeah, and so the clay, somebody mentioned the word clay. Now, in different parts of our country, the earth, the soil is more clayey. I suppose that's what, I'm not sure what the, there's some different
it's
level.
It's got less loam or sand in it.
Less slum or sand.
No, loam.
Loam.
Or slight pardon me. Sand.
Loam. As you move down, go down south a little bit.
What's loam?
There's loam. Less loam.
Sand.
And less sand.
Just think of sand.
Is
loam straw or something?
No. It's just.
It's like sand. Sandy soil.
Yeah, so it's the clay kind. It's more of like red. Our soil out here looks more of a, like a blackish or brownish. Different parts of the south is more like a red clay type of soil. Is that what kind of soil you have there, Jacob? The reddish kind of soil?
No, sir. That's more like up towards the Ozarks, Oklahoma, and Arkansas.
Okay. All right, Tammy, go ahead.
The when it rains, the water will run through the loamy soil. There's more irrigation is the right word, but there's more filtering
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the clay.
Because of the loam and the sand.
Right, exactly.
And that's one of the reasons probably the part that we have. There's the flooding going on in South Carolina this week.
It's terrible.
Because they have reddish, clayish type of soil in certain parts of the state. I'm not sure if it's all over the state, but in certain parts of South Carolina, they have that reddish soil that's more clay, and it's missing loam and sand. And so in Egypt, I suspect the soil they had was the reddish, clay type of soil. And they made clay bricks. And they needed the straw to make these bricks. And what's the purpose? What's the purpose of a brick, John?
The purpose of a brick is to build a building, to build a house, to build a foundation. Its purpose with mortar is to build structures.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's a building material.
Like we have a brick house.
That's right. And this brick house was made with bricks.
What?
I mean, there's a or there's probably a stick frame to a degree, but the outside is covered with bricks. Bricks, and these bricks were had to be manufactured someplace. And there's a certain elements that go into the manufacture of bricks. And so the Egyptians were making bricks. Probably not the Egyptians, the children of Israel, the Hebrews, were making bricks for Pharaoh's construction people to build. And they may even been involved in the building, like more than likely. John?
I think what they said, bricks are strong. Brick houses are a little bit stronger than non-brick houses. Like if a tornado comes through, the brick house is a little bit more resistant and there's less damage than non-brick houses.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's what Goldilocks found out.
Mm-hmm.
You
know, with the
three little pigs.
The three little bears, right? The mama bear.
She was probably there too.
The papa bear. What's that? But no, the little pig had the straw house, you know, and so.
And his brother had
a stick house. And his other brother had a brick house, but you see, in the bricks of the brother, there probably was straw.
Or stubble.
Or stubble. Yeah.
So the little pig was too big. The youngest pig was too lazy to turn his straw into bricks.
That's right. That's right. But you see. The idea they were sent out through the country of Egypt to collect straw, and then they couldn't find it, so they got stubble. The Bible tells us they got stubble there in verse 12, for instead of straw. Now, in verse 13, Bill, what did the taskmaster say to the people?
Work extra hard.
That's right. And if you work extra hard, you want to, fulfill your work, your daily tasks.
Just as if you had straw.
You know, so they still had to fulfill their objective of have X number of pallets of bricks a day. They still had to get those bricks produced, even if they didn't have straw. Now, if you're responsible of, if you work in a factory, if you work on a production line, and you're missing a key ingredient, suppose you know you need to produce X number of cans of soup a day, and you know they don't supply you with the water, they don't supply you with the tomatoes, they don't supply you with the chicken, they don't supply you with the noodles or with the salt or with the whatever the ingredient might be. And so it's okay, you can go find your own tomatoes, but we still want you to produce 500 gallons of soup a day. Or whatever the number is. I'm not sure how much soup they produce today. Probably more than 500 gallons. But if the people that are making the soup have to go out and hunt for their own tomatoes, they're going to be all over the place. And so this is what happened. The people were scattered. They weren't making tomato soup. They were making bricks. They were scattered to find this important ingredient in the brick, which was straw. And when they failed to come up with straw, the Bible says they were using the stubble. They were using the stubble in place of the straw. And so we notice in verse 14 that the officers were beaten. The officers that were set over the children of Israel, they were beaten because they were in charge of making sure. They were like the foreman. They were in charge. They were put in charge of making sure the children of Israel were doing what they were supposed to do. And so these officers were beaten. And why, Elaine? Why were they beaten? In verse 14.
Because they didn't fulfill the making of the bricks.
That's right. They failed to get their same production quantity up. They failed to get that number up. And in verse 15, these officers ask a very important question. They say, wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? They can't figure it out. Why are they being treated this way? They're asking. Why are you treating them so badly? Especially by having them being beaten. But that's what they were doing. That's what Pharaoh they were the officers, they were the Pharaoh's men, were beating the officers. Now, in verse 16, Tammy, in verse 16, to whom did the officers attribute the fault? Who were they blaming?
The Egyptians. It says, but the fault is in thine own people. They were actually Israelites, the officers.
Mm-hmm. That's right. But then thine own people, referring to the Egyptians, right? Mm-hmm. That's where they were attributing the fault. And so, but Pharaoh in verse 17, he insisted that they were idle. He insisted that the people were idle. Now, Anna, what does this word idle mean? Bring it into a terminology,
sitting
perhaps.
Around, not doing much.
Right, not doing much. Now, when we think of an automobile, oh, Tam, you have a thought?
I think of a parent and a child that says, well, what can I do? I'm bored.
Mm-hmm.
And so their parent gives them a job to do. You know, not necessarily something that they want to do. They want to do something fun.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're pestering their parent for something to do.
Mm-hmm.
So the parent gives them something, some work to do.
Right. And Mrs. Grummer, what's an automobile? When an automobile is said to idle, what is it doing?
Standing still.
It's standing still. With its motor on.
Right.
It's standing still. Our expert mechanic in the back of the room wanted to clarify, it's standing still with its motor running. Thank you for clarifying that. So it's idling. It's not going anyplace. It's not being efficient. I mean, there's a bunch of cars standing out there still, they're off, but if they were on, it's not being efficient. And so here, they're being accused of being idle, not being efficient, mm-hmm. not going anyplace, not getting anything done. Anna?
Well, sometimes it's good to be idle because when it's very cold out, you should probably let your car warm up before zooming off.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Sometimes it needs to get up to speed.
Good. Go.
I had to leave the room, and so I missed up. Back in verse 14, the officers of the children of Israel. So when I was reading that today, those are the Israelites that were made officers to be over the other. Is that how it is? Over the other.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just wanted to be sure that was mm-hmm. right. And they were the taskmasters, weren't they?
They were the officers.
No, the taskmaster set the officer. And so the taskmaster beat the officers. Is that how that goes?
I suspect, yes. Bill with him.
Well, the officers were like trustees.
Okay.
If you go to a prison, there are certain inmates that are allowed trustees. Free roam of the jail so that they can fulfill some of the duties to be done in
okay.
the jail.
Mm-hmm.
And even during World War II, there were trustees among the Jews in those camps, and they had to perform duties for the Germans, and they were hated by a lot of Jews for it, but they wanted to stay alive, and this is probably the same thing. The officers had to direct groups of people to do things.
Right.
That's similar type of position.
Mm-hmm. So, Tammy, your thought?
The taskmasters were Egyptians, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were Egyptians over top of the
yes.
officers.
Mm-hmm.
I had it
wrong. That's right. Now, Jacob, in verse 18, this is again, being emphasizing something here, but what was no longer going to be delivered to the children of Israel? Verse 18. No more straw. No more straw.
They have to keep the same kind of bricks, the same quota of bricks.
That's right. That's right. Mrs. Grummer, go ahead and read verse 19, please.
And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case. After it was said, you shall not minish art from the bricks of your daily task.
They met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way when they came forth from Pharaoh.
And they said unto them, The Lord look upon you and judge, because he have made our Savior to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us.
And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me?
For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all.
Now notice in verse 19, that the officers, notice that they were, in an evil case. They were in an evil case because they were put in a position that was almost impossible for them to fulfill. They were getting heat from the Egyptian taskmasters, and they were getting legitimate complaints from the Israelites, who they were overseeing, and so they were kind of put in a very, very horrible condition, an evil case. They were put in this position because Pharaoh was not going to give them straw anymore. He refused. He refused to give them straw. And John, who was standing in the way as they came from Pharaoh? Verse 20. Who was standing in the way?
Moses and Aaron.
Okay. Moses and Aaron. So who's coming?
They're walking up, I guess.
They're walking. And so we have the officers and Moses and Aaron.
We're standing there.
Officers were walking.
And so, that's right, they were standing there as Moses and Aaron were coming. They were standing in the way, and here comes Moses and Aaron.
I thought
it was the other way. Probably the other way. Moses and Aaron were standing, right?
Somebody
was standing.
Yeah, verse 1, I'm sorry, I got it backwards there. Thank you. And Moses and Aaron, and they met Moses and Aaron, meaning the officers, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh.
The officers were coming from Pharaoh.
Moses and Aaron were standing right there in the way. Verse 21, name the men who were accused of making their savor to abhor in the eyes of Pharaoh.
Moses and Aaron.
And so the idea of abhor. What does abhor mean? What's the idea of abhor?
I'm not sure.
Has it being hated, right? Hated or...
Yeah,
or
that's the idea. It's got on the bottom. Yeah.
Yeah, they have been hated and so forth. And so Moses asked the Lord two questions. One of them was in verse 22. One of these questions, in verse 22, he says, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? That's question number one. Now, Mom, what's question number two?
Why is that thou hast sent me?
Yeah, so these are questions that Moses is asking. Moses, in verse 22, the Bible says, and Moses returned unto the Lord and said, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? And when it talks about entreated this people, what is that saying to him? What is he saying? What's Moses asking?
Why have you treated them so evilly?
Okay. Now, was the Lord treating the people evilly, Anna?
No.
No, he wasn't. And Mrs. Grummer, why do we have Moses thinking this way then?
I think Moses is thinking this way because he's seeing how how much the people are suffering.
Yes, you've seen how much people are suffering, Tammy.
Well, the Lord had told him originally that the Pharaoh wasn't going to let them go, no, not even by a mighty hand.
Right, that's right.
So he had prepared him, but he didn't remember it, apparently.
And so, then we did. He didn't. Tom, go ahead.
The children of Israel weren't really supposed to be in Egypt. They should have left Egypt long ago when they still were in good favor. They were supposed to be in their own country, the country of Canaan.
Well, the iniquity of the Amorites was not full, but yes, that from a certain standpoint, what's that?
Before they grew to be such a big group of people, they came with Jacob and Joseph and all that. They should have returned when Joseph died. Really, I think. I don't know, I made that up, but that's what I think.
Well, there's thinking. I mean, I can understand what you're saying, but the point is, it was determined. God told them
right
before there was. God, I think it was told Abraham the fact that they would be estranged. They would be a stranger in a strange land.
Okay.
For these number of years, and so from the human vantage point, yes, they should have. The brothers should have never sold Joseph in Egypt, and they were. I mean, of course, then if things had persisted, things had continued the way they were, without Joseph being present, then not only would Egypt have died off, so would have the children of Israel. I mean, there was a purpose behind why God sent Joseph into slavery, although Joseph didn't understand it. There was a purpose behind it. You know, as Joseph told the brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So Joseph understood the fact that God was behind the purpose of him being in Egypt. He understood that. And I understand what you're saying from a human standpoint. We can look at that and say, well, why did they, when they went back to take Jacob back, to bury Jacob, why did they just stay there? All of them. But that wasn't God's plan. That wasn't God's plan. And so here we have... Did you have a thought, Tammy? Comment?
Well, kind of piggybacking on what you said.
Yeah.
God had already predetermined it. And it's a picture of our salvation. Well, everything that happened in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
So we wouldn't have that type.
That's right. We would not have that type. We would not. Yes, Jacob.
Yeah, I found that what you were talking about until the iniquity of the Amorites.
Yes.
It's in Genesis 15:12, and it was when God was confirming the covenant, when Abraham wanted confirmation of the covenant he was given him.
Mm-hmm.
When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve, I will judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. Mm. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And he goes on with the covenant he's given him.
Exodus 5.
Yes. Exodus 5. That's right. Thank you, Jacob. That's Genesis 15:12, right?
Yeah, 12 through 16.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so, another thing here, they're blaming the wrong thing. I mean, in our present new the front page of today's newspaper, or how much of it's in the front page of today's newspaper or not, people are blaming the wrong thing. They're blaming something that should not receive the blame. They're blaming an inanimate object. When an inanimate object should not be blamed, it's the person that was using. This is what they're doing. They're blaming the wrong person. They're blaming. I'll give you an example. This is not in the text. It's an example from our front page of our newspaper today. Or
tell us what it says.
I'm not sure what it says, but it says from the front page. Our newspaper says, this particular inanimate object, we got to get less of them. We got to get these inanimate objects off the streets because they're killing people. They're doing horrible things. Well, really, it's the people.
What are you talking about?
Guns.
I'm talking about...
Guns.
Firearms, Jacob. Firearms. Firearms. I know you're... But you see, look what they're saying. They're saying that the blame is being attributed to... They're pointing the blame at the wrong place. Wherefore hast thou so evilly entreated this people? And we're in verse 21. And so they're blaming the Lord. They're blaming God for what their predicament. And really, it's Pharaoh who is
to take the
blame. Yes, it's Pharaoh to take the blame. He's the one that's the blame. And what's the other question that they ask? This is, why is it that thou hast sent me? Now, clearly, God had told him why he was sent. And God had told him, the Lord had told him, Pharaoh was going to have a hard heart.
Yeah.
And so, I'm not sure why Moses is asking this question.
He forgot.
Pharaoh done evil to his people. And God, this is why God sent Moses, gave him encouragement.
Right, that's right. And so, the idea of Moses here, he's turning the blame on because of what's happened to the people, because Pharaoh is withholding straw. He was withholding the straw from the people. The people have to get their own straw. Now the people are upset. Got a bunch of people mad at each other. You got the people up to gather their own straw, and they're not happy about that, because they have to start their day.
He's making it tougher for them.
He's making it tougher for them because he doesn't want them to be idle. He wants them to be busy, and they think if they wear them out, if you really remember some weeks you work really hard,
yeah,
and you're just exhausted. You can't really do anything except work and sleep. You know, and so that's what he's trying to do to these people. He's trying to get them all worn out, so if they're exhausted, they're not going to be saying, "Let us go into the wilderness, so we may serve the Lord and have a feast to the Lord."
Yeah.
That's what Pharaoh's intent is. And so, not only is he getting them worn out, but he's also causing them to point fingers at everybody and say, "It's your fault. It's your fault." You know, let's just be happy with the way things used to be. Yeah.
But wouldn't this only make them more interested in a break?
It would, but they're not. They don't see it that way. They do not see it that way because they think it's hopeless. They think it's hopeless that the fact of them ever being released, because they're just looking at the human element. From a human standpoint, they think it can never happen. Tammy.
God's teaching them patience.
That's good. God is teaching them patience. God is teaching them patience. And so, Elaine, question for you. When did Pharaoh begin doing evil to the people of Israel? When did he begin doing evil?
What question is that?
For verse 23.
Oh, here it is. Oh, it's a tricky one. It's full of fun.
It is tricky, yes. See that verse is from verse 23. This.
Oh, I get it.
Okay, so what come up with answer, Mom? What did you get?
As soon as I came to Pharaoh to speak to him, in your name, Lord, you've been doing all this evil to the people. Or maybe Pharaoh was doing evil to the people. And neither have delivered the people at all from their plight.
Okay, so now he's making this observation. He's saying, as soon as I came before Pharaoh, things got worse, not better. And then he said, at the end of the verse, he says, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. He was saying,
where is this Lord, the delivery?
I mean, this is what Moses is saying. Yeah, exactly. Moses is saying this. He's saying, look, as soon as I went before Pharaoh, he started making life worse than it already was.
Right.
And then, and beside that, Lord, this is what he's basically saying, you've done nothing. I mean, he doesn't understand what the Lord is doing.
Right.
But from his perspective, he's saying, you've done nothing. You have not delivered us at all. But Moses, pardon me, the Lord told Moses it was going to be hard.
Yes.
And Pharaoh was going to be a tough sell.
He wasn't going to let the people go.
And he wasn't going to let the people go.
But God was going to deliver them anyway.
God was going to deliver them anyway, yes.
God warned Moses before he went back to Egypt that he was going to harden Pharaoh's heart.
Yes, he did. He was warned. Anna, right on.
It seems that Moses was exhibiting impatience.
He was exhibiting impatience. That's correct. Does anyone... I mean, this is something... This is not necessarily... This is... Clearly, this is Old Testament. It's Old Testament. It's the time... It's the time of promise.
The Old
dispensation
Testament,
of,
the
promise.
Of promise.
Let me just... This chapter. Exodus chapter
this
5
time
here.
Time.
It's the dispensation
of time,
promise.
At that time of promise.
At this particular... The promise. Now, you know, we have... Promise, when I said the dispensation of promise, God promised Abraham
yes.
several different things. A great nation, land, different things like that. This is part of the Abrahamic covenant, which we'll be discussing a little bit more on Friday. But the Abrahamic covenant was, we had the son of promise. We know who the son of promise is. John, who's the son of promise?
Jesus.
Abraham.
I meant Isaac.
Isaac.
Yeah.
Isaac. And Isaac had, what was Isaac's son's name, Bill?
What's that?
Isaac's son's name.
Jacob.
Jacob. And then, you know how many sons Jacob had, Steve?
We had Isaac, Jacob, and Abraham, but...
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then, I'll give you a hint. When you go to the store and buy some eggs, how do they usually come?
How do they come?
In a box.
How
many eggs are in a box?
Oh, you didn't say to count.
Okay. A dozen. That's right. So
the son didn't come in a box.
No, it didn't. It didn't come in a box. But Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had 12 sons. So,
there used to be bakeries years ago that used to sell baker's dozen, which was 13 donuts.
13 donuts, yes.
But they don't do that anymore.
So yeah,
12, they're all cheapskates.
12, yes.
You didn't,
12. And
well,
so,
now you say how you didn't say how many number.
No, that's true. That's true. No, Anna, can you bring this?
Well, I suspect what happened with the baker's dozen was that the bakers started to eat the 13th donut.
Yeah, they're just cheapskates. They don't want to pass anything.
They ate the 12th donut, so they had to make another one to make up for it.
So what I'm trying to establish here is the fact that this time period, when Moses was before Pharaoh, we have these 12 sons of Jacob, who now became...
12 sons of Jacob.
Close to over 2 million people. In this time period, we have 2 million people. They grew.
Almost 400 years.
Almost 400 years, but it's still the promise, the dispensation of promise, until we come, until something dramatic happens, the change from the dispensation of promise
to
the dispensation of law, and what that happens is coming later on in this book. This book is a transitional book. It transitions from promise to law.
It's an important book. Yeah.
You know, and so what Moses was saying here, he's saying, as soon as we came before Pharaoh, he was giving us a hard time. And then, furthermore, Moses, as Anna said, in his impatience, he says, and Lord, what have you done? What a silly thing for him to say. But I brought this up in the fact of talking about promise, talking about a principle here. The principle here is, even though this is a dispensation of promise, there's an application we can glean from it. We have these written for our examples here in the Old Testament to learn and say, okay, how are we... Like, just like all these people here in chapter 5. Tammy.
He was very short-sighted. He failed to remember what God had told him and all the promises that were given the same way with us.
Right. Mm-hmm. They can't see it far off. They're blind. They cannot see it far off. Just like quite often. Time after time. Example after example in the scripture. We see this and then... Lo and behold, we look into the mirror, and we see it again.
Yeah.
We see it again. So, Mrs. Grummer, what are some thoughts you have about chapter 5 of Exodus, fifth chapter of Exodus?
Well, what I was sitting here thinking just a minute ago is how these people suffered, and they were really blaming Moses and God and Aaron, and actually, we people, us, I'm talking about us, how we go through so many trials and tribulations, and sometimes we don't realize that that is part of God's plan, too.
It is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we ask this, we behave just like Moses does, just like the people do. We don't understand. We fail to understand. Jacob, continue on with some of your thoughts, please.
Yes, sir. I was thinking how Moses had killed that Egyptian and how much he wanted to be, you know, one of his people. He wanted to be a Jew. But I was also thinking how over and over again through this book, Moses chided with God quite a bit. And he stood in the gap when God wanted to destroy them after that incident when he came down from the mountain and 3,000 were slain by the Levites. But, you know, what I was really thinking about was a week or so ago, this verse in Amos 5:10, they hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. You know, Moses was saying the right thing. It was what God told him to do because it was his plan. But when we, you know, I come across this so much. I cannot tolerate it when somebody speaks wrongly about God. And, you know, it will leave you quite alone as far as a lot of friends or anything. But it's well worth it. It's faithful to the fight, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
No matter how you do it, it's always going to happen. You're going to have trouble.
That's right. John, some thoughts you have about chapter 5 of Exodus?
That when the children of Israel tried to leave, the Pharaoh added to their burdens.
He did. He added to their burdens. Bill?
Well, the only thing that I was left thinking about was in the beginning of the chapter, Moses wanted to take the people on a 3-day journey into the wilderness, and it was only to have a barbecue. And Pharaoh didn't go along with it.
No, that's right. They wanted to have a feast, 3-day feast. And then, you know, Pharaoh didn't want to, that's what he told them initially. Steve, some thoughts you have about?
I think this sums up Moses and Aaron. They tried to convince Pharaoh that they believed in the Lord, and Pharaoh did not believe in the Lord, and he wanted to punish the... He just wanted to keep his way with the Israelites and punish them and keep them in chains, whereas Moses was trying to convince and tell them that they believed in a
right.
Lord, and Pharaoh didn't believe, and he says, prove this Lord.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. Andy Lane, something you noticed about chapter 5.
Interesting fact of,
you know, yes, it was.
With the straw. You
know. It was interesting with the straw not being being withheld from them. That was something that caused the people to be. It was by Pharaoh withholding the straw from the people. That extra amount of work, you know, it was the burden from that was enough. It was the straw that broke the camel's back. It was the last straw. And so, but they perhaps understood, because they were broken, they could not do it in their own strength. When God finally came along, when God delivered them, but even then, their faith was still weak. Seeing all the wonderful works of Egypt, the 10 plagues, the testimony of God's greatness, you know, some of them were still hanging on to Egypt. Paul, what's some thoughts you have about Exodus chapter 5?
Well, again, to me, it reassures me that whatever, I mean, a lot that has happened even then, even the chapter, even back then, in the days of Pharaoh and everything, that God is still in control. And and to me, what it means to me is that he doesn't change. His word is still the same yesterday and today and forever.
That's right. He doesn't change. And so now, Paul used the term God is still in control. What is a synonym for God is still in control? Big fancy, $1,000 word.
Sovereign.
That's right, John. God is sovereign. The sovereignty of God. He is in control. Even if we don't think he's in control, even if we accuse him of not being in control, he's still in control. And there's a purpose for everything that happens. Your thoughts, sir, Mom?
Well, I'm going to give some personal
Please do.
Egypt that I'm remembering. This one day, we were only in Egypt a couple days, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And this one day we took a bus to see the pyramids.
Mm-hmm.
The pyramids, like the city, I can't remember the city's name, that this main city, I can't remember.
Cairo, perhaps?
Cairo, that would be
right. Cairo?
Maybe it was Cairo.
Okay.
And right smack, the last house, like in Cairo, was where the pyramids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought they'd be out by themselves. They're by themselves, but they're smack up against the city, sort of. That's my memory of it.
Was it nice looking to see them?
Pardon me?
Was it nice to see them?
Yes. So we took a bus, and we were there. And then they stopped by one of these pyramids. Now, I think the pyramids used to have gold on, but they didn't have gold on anymore. I think they got robbed. I'm not positive, but there were a few pyramids. I really can't remember how many. So this one, and you could go there, but you had to stoop down. To get to the top of the inside the pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
In there. And I didn't go because I can't stoop.
Mm-hmm.
And walk and stuff.
Right, Steve. I'm sorry, continue on. She's not finished. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I have a long thing to talk
about.
And my husband, it was too hot, so that he stayed in the bus. And I said to myself.
So it was hot.
Yes, I remember that. Okay. That's one of the reasons I'm telling you this.
So hotness and bricks are the perfect climate. Right?
And so my husband didn't want to get, he doesn't like to be in the sun, but I said to him.
So if it was a cooler, more pleasant day, he would have done it.
I'm not sure about
that.
No,
not necessarily.
But since it was hot and sunny.
The sun reflects off the sand.
Yes,
onto
I understand.
You, and
so I said, I didn't come all the way to Egypt to sit in a bus.
Oh.
That's what I told him.
Okay.
I said, I'm going to walk up here. Now, I don't know if he didn't hear me or what. So I walked up. And then you have to watch where you walk because instead of horses, they have camels.
Mm-hmm.
And so the men are riding around with their turbans and stuff. And this is like their cars. And the camels. Now, the camels can go very fast. And then when they stop, they just stop. They go like this and then like stop. And I could never figure that out. But I guess that's what camels do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a horse sort of, he stops, but he sort of has more horseness about him.
Horsepower?
Slows down.
Yeah, and this camel, run real fast, and then stop. And these men are on these camels running around. And so I walked up on this sand. I had to be careful because there's camel dirt and stuff. And there were little pyramids, and because the one they went in was a big pyramid. And there might have been another big pyramid. I really can't remember what it was, but little pyramids. And I walked up where the Sphinx was. You know, the Sphinx,
mm-hmm.
that you see in books? And I walked up there, and I'm by myself. And I assume, I told my husband, I thought he was watching me, but I guess he was, and so I went up where the Sphinx, and I was near as the Sphinx as I am to John. You know, the Sphinx takes up some space. There's something else there too, but I can't remember. And so that was interesting. But I was by myself out there in Egypt by the Sphinx and I. And then all of a sudden, camel man rode up real fast, right by the Sphinx and me, and stopped. And I was scared. I didn't know. I thought he might take me. I thought he'd sweep me up and take me off with the camel. And I was really frightened, and I didn't know what to do. And he asked me something in his language, his broken, I don't know what language. I said, my husband is here. My husband is up here. Of course, he wasn't anywhere around. And all of a sudden, while his man's looking at me, and I was afraid he was going to take me, the bus drove up. Our bus came up. It stopped right there, you know, like right over there. And my husband opened the door and said, get in here, Vaughn. Get in here. I never was so glad in my life to see him. How did I even get in that bus? Because I was really...
maniac.
I didn't know what was happening with this man on the camel.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
So that was my experience. And the weather was warm. It was hot.
Right.
But it wasn't too hot for me to stay in the bus because I wanted to go. It was sand all over.
Right. I guess if it was in a different area, no reflection, nice mild day, then the situation would have been different, and everybody in your party would have gone into the pyramid. All the supers.
Well, the people went in the pyramid that wanted to, and those that didn't, some of them got out and walked around.
Right.
But Dr. Waite didn't want to walk around in the sun.
I understand.
Sounds like that guy was a
chiromaniac. He was a chiromaniac. Now, interesting enough, I believe, from what I understand, that the pyramids were there prior to the arrival of Joseph. Prior to the arrival of Joseph. And even the great Sphinx. We don't want to get into specifics as far as how much before. Anna had a comment, then go back to Steve. Anna, what was your thought?
I'm just wondering if the Sphinx asked Grandma any questions.
The Sphinx asked, no. Any questions?
No.
Steve, your thought?
What did the Egyptians at that time, what did they believe in? What kind of god, and what do they believe in today?
They were polytheists. Many gods. Poly means many.
And what do they believe in today, Egyptians?
They're
Muslims now.
They're Muslims now?
Yeah.
A lot of them. Anna, your thought?
I just was agreeing with the general sentiment that many Egyptians are Muslims, but not quite all of them.
Yes, many.
The majority.
Let's see. Tammy, your thoughts about this chapter, chapter 5.
I think I mentioned mostly, it was just that application to today for us, you know, as far as... you know, when the situation looks bleak and maybe even we're trying to help someone and then it seems like everything's getting worse rather than better.
Mm-hmm.
And I just keep persevering in prayer and persevering, you know, in the direction the Lord wants us to go.
That's good. Yeah. Your final thoughts in about this chapter?
Oh, well, I thought throughout the chapter I was thinking how similar the Egyptians were to the Nazi Germany because of, and especially how they treated the Jews, were just working them so hard.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I find that a little different, way different. Hitler was much tougher. The brutality, they shaved their heads, they tested on them, they did these tests on them, they pulled their teeth out. They had gold teeth in Nazi Germany during that time. They put it in ovens. It's not even comparison.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but I studied World War II.
Well, yes. I mean, it was very bad. I mean, perhaps we don't know how bad it was in Egypt. We're
possibility.
A brief overview. It's just...
No TV on Friday and Saturday nights.
I mean,
that's right.
But anyway, so
I understand what you're saying. You're saying as far as the
there were, as mentioned earlier, there were in Germany they were sometimes making the Jews work, like they sometimes made them dig trenches or whatever they were digging.
They made them dig trenches so they could shoot them and put them in them.
Well, no, not. There were other trench digging operations that weren't related to.
Yes, you're right. They were building bridges. They had to build bridges.
Schindler's List. Have you ever seen that?
Is that like sometimes they wouldn't dig enough.
My favorite subject is war.
They wouldn't do enough digging, and so then the Germans would shoot the person the head. Jew, and then, you know, then I guess they dug too many trenches, and that wouldn't be satisfactory either.
And so the idea of, from that aspect, from a small aspect of comparison, I understand what you're saying.
Hitler wanted a new world order.
But the idea of having a strong hand, the Pharaoh, he didn't want to release these people. He wanted to hold on to them and not release them. Because he wanted to have them do the work for him. And we don't know how many people died under his hand, if any. We don't know those details.
He was killing the baby boy.
Yes, he was. That was a horrible thing, too. He was killing, how's this, by comparison? He was telling the mothers and telling the midwives when if a male child is born, throw him into the river, the Nile River. And so that's pretty atrocious in itself, you know.
Compared to being gassed and trained by thousands.
But these are children. These are babies. I mean, not that, but both people can't really do much.
No, it's terrible both ways. We can't compare both.
You know?
It's just terrible the way humanity, people kill each other.
It is.
From now, from 3,000 years back. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And we do it today, over the Middle East. Mm-hmm. Kids.
We do it here, too.
Right.
All the abortions that are done. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Day.
That's true.
Yeah, 40 million. You're counting over 40 million. Maybe 50 million now. John.
Abortion has actually hurt our economic security because of all those millions of babies who will have to be born. We'd have millions more people in tax revenue. Mm-hmm. Each individual person would have to be taxed as much because there would be more people to receive tax from. And we would have lower national debt. And more of those millions of people would spend their money at these businesses. There'd be more businesses. We'd be, mm-hmm. make more money. There'd mm-hmm. be less debt. Our economy would be a lot better if those babies were allowed to be born.
And fewer immigrants.
I mean, the idea of the fascist thinking of the founders of the Planned Parenthood, the thinking behind the abortion factories.
Moloch.
Eugenics. You know.
It was a cousin of Charles Darwin that started that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that would be right.
Mm-hmm. Here's Charles Darwin's cousin.
Yeah, and he started with eugenics.
Who was he?
What was his name, Jacob?
I do not remember. I heard it on a crosstalk radio show about a week and a half ago. I can look it up real quick.
What did he do? What did he do?
Charles Darwin's theory.
Eugenics.
He had a theory.
And so the point here, being here into the close of chapter 5 is the beginning of chapter 5. You know, Moses is going to Pharaoh and saying, you know, let my people go. God says, the Lord God of the Hebrews says, let my people go that they may serve him. And at the end of the chapter, we have Moses, Aaron, some of these are all disgruntled because of what was happening to them, the persecution that they were under at the hand of Pharaoh, and they were blaming the Lord for not acting fast enough. And so that's the chapter 5. And the key part of this is, and the key factor perhaps in all this is the fact that the straw was withheld. It's something small, but yet something big, caused the people's hearts and attitude to change dramatically. And so, what small thing, what's the straw in our life? If it's taken away, if our life's made more difficult because we're missing something, how are we going to respond?
Freedom.
No. How are we going to respond? All right, so that's chapter 5. I do have a quiz. Jake, have you found the name?
Pastor Dan, Francis Galton was Darwin's cousin who started this eugenics program back in the 1800s.
Francis Galton.
G-A-L-T-O-N.
Galton. Francis Galton.
It's on your CD.
Well, I mean, yeah.
It is on September 29th, 2015, Crosstalk Show.
All right.
From DCY America.
Well, thank you, Jacob. Bill, would you please close the prayer?
Father in heaven, thank you for the teachings that you have provided to us. We thank you that we can listen and understand and appreciate all the things that are taught to us in the Bible. Father, we thank you for providing us with a great church to have these meetings, and we thank you for the pastor that leads them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.